What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
This is a very serious topic. Thursday night football game between the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa was sacked, and I mean slammed, to the ground. It caused him to suffer an apparent head injury, later ruled to be a concussion, after suffering what appeared to be another concussion just 4 days later. Joining us in studio to discuss the NFL's concussion protocols, the medical translation of it all, and how the team handled his evaluation is Bloomberg reporter Shreed Taylor. Shreed, thank you so much for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I was watching both games, and I mean, he was slung to the ground. I mean, it's like, his fingers were bent one way, and I had never seen that before. There's a term for that, Shreed, which you were saying.
It's called the fencing response. So basically, when your body just kind of twitches into this response that is just a clear indicator of brain trauma or a concussion or any head injury.
And it involves his fingers, his hands curling up into this unusual position that almost resembles a fetus.
Right. So it kind of goes back to this fencing reflex, which occurs in newborns, an asymmetrical tonic neck reflex. It's when newborn babies position themselves with one arm flexed and the other extended, you know, kind of like a fencer in that way. And we think this occurs after a head injury because, you know, it's thought that if a blow impacts a brainstem, it might momentarily reactivate that response. Everyone was really, really scared. Head injury experts, neurological doctors, past professional players who have kind of been through this in their own careers and have dealt with this firsthand. And even just concerned fans were like, you know, what's going on here? And this isn't the first time that the NFL concussion protocol has kind of been put into question. It actually started back in 2011 when a player, I think on the Cleveland Browns, he took a hit, helmet-to-helmet hit with another player, and then just continued to play with a concussion because there were no medical personnel looking out for him.
There's no process in place.
Right, exactly. So, you know, there's kind of a dark history with this, you know, and it's kind of a vicious pattern that keeps happening.
Well, Sri, here we are a week later, right? And I think Mike hit on it before, you know, even before that, you know, when the Dolphins beat the Bills, that's when, you know, we thought Tua had initially had a concussion. It was ruled as a back injury. It was revealed just this week that the NFL and its players union, basically the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant that cleared Tua, was fired, right? So clearly there's something that went wrong in the process. I wonder if you could tell us, after that Bills game, you know, clearing Tua to play, and then all that we've learned, you know, since then, you know, what needs to change? What's gone wrong?
The current protocol is when a player exhibits symptoms of a potential head injury that could point to a potential concussion, an independent athletic trainer, an ATC spotter, calls a timeout. Also, anyone can call a timeout, basically, from, you know, team trainers to coaches to even fellow teammates. So once the protocol is triggered, team physician and at UNC, an unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant, look at the player and determine if the severity of the injury calls for a complete removal from the game or not. So if the player isn't good to go, then they whisk them off to the locker room for further examination. And then they ultimately determine from there what the issue is. So some experts have called for just a better development of, you know, helmets. maybe someone to oversee that the concussion protocol is, you know, being thoroughly done. But for now, I'm not sure what the answer is. Clearly, players aren't being, their health isn't being prioritized.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
An observation before I ask the next question, and Damian, you touched off on it about the game before that Thursday night game where you knew he had a concussion, and they said, oh, it's a back injury. Well, as he's trying to get up off the field, he falls back down. And I'm like, oh, that's a concussion. And all of a sudden, it's like, nah, it's a back injury. I'm like, well, what the hell game were you guys watching? Because he fell down on the ground, and I don't understand why right there they didn't say, hey, you got a concussion, at least do something there. This is now, a lot of attention has been called to this now, which, and like you were saying, Sri, there was not enough attention back in the day. And I'm saying back in the day when I used to start getting into football in the late 60s, early 70s, and the helmet was nothing like what they have now. And I remember a hit watching Monday Night Football, Tony Dorsett. I know I'm going to bring a name way from
the
past.
You're aging yourself.
Yeah, I know. Back when the star had, when they had 10 planets back then. And he took a hit, and the hit was so hard, it jarred his helmet, crooked sideways. And you knew it, forgive the term that, you know, they kept saying his bell got rung.
Yeah,
and yes,
no.
It did. It was hard.
That
and
doesn't do it justice.
Yeah, it was. And now Tony Dorsett, he says, you know, he has problems too with CTE because a lot of these players had it. And I can go on, Sri, about the stories. Why did it, I'm just asking your opinion, why do you think it had taken so long for the league to say, hey, we got to do something?
I think it's just the pressure to play and pressure to get these players back in there. You know, they're not really prioritizing players' health, and that's because they want them back in the game, you know, so they can continue to play and, you know, in the end, continue to make the team money and just keep things going. And that's what experts believe, too. So there's no clear motivator, but that's just what it seems like. You know, that's what all signs, for me at least, kind of point to, is just this like huge pressure to play. You know, players are probably thinking, I have to get back into the game. They're probably downplaying their own injuries. So, yeah.
And this happens across different leagues of sports and different levels of sports, too, right? I mean, from youth sports to college sports, players, especially if they haven't suffered a huge injury, want to get back on the field.
Yeah, they keep going back in, and a lot of serious injuries that can develop into, you know, something as severe as CTE, or even, you know, dementia later down the line, they often go ignored because players and their coaches and just their team in general want them to get back in.
What about the NFL Players Association? What's their stance on this? How has it changed over time? What have you found in your reporting?
What I found, and like we mentioned earlier, the labor union representing the athletes had already had an ongoing investigation launched just into the protocol in general. And they've done this before, it seems, you know, just with every high profile head injury that kind of takes place on the field. But seems like this league union is, you know, trying to crack down on, you know, what is actually happening behind the scenes when a player gets injured. But it seems like change is very incremental. It's very small. So, you know, hopefully this is an incentive for both the NFL and the league's union to kind of just, you know, take more action.
To make more meaningful steps.
Exactly.
Damian, I don't know how you feel, but whenever I can't even watch football anymore, because when someone does get hit, there's the instant replay, there's the close-ups, there's the commentary, which is often I don't know, not as thoughtful or expensive skewed as it could be, that it, I just can't watch it after a while.
Well, I can never not watch football.
That's, so you'll mute it and watch it. But you know what I mean, right? There's this level of discomfort when you're watching someone get hurt over and over again.
Well, I mean, certainly when you see the stretcher gets pulled out or somebody's down and you, or even you just see it, you know, you can see the injury, you know, happening. I mean, you know, I mean, certainly you have to look away. I mean, but when he curled his fingers, the fencing, I mean, that was pretty scary. I mean, I've seen that before in, you know, knockouts in boxing, but, you know, I've never seen that before in the NFL. And certainly it's got everyone's attention here.
I mean, there's so many stories that I can tell. And I don't know if anybody had a chance to watch the movie Concussion made a few years ago. And
is that the Will Smith movie?
Yes, that was the Will Smith movie. And there was a character in there, if you want to forgive the term, Dave Duerson. And he played for the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears, yeah.
And I think it was one year, I think he was with the Giants also, I believe. But what happened, he said, wait a minute, something is going on here. Now, in the movie, a friend of his comes to him and it's like, man, you got to help me. I'm going through CTE. And like Duerson's like, what are you talking about, man? Well, later on, Duerson has the same problem, and what happens is that he commits suicide. He shoots himself in the chest, and before he left, he said, I want you guys to examine my brain for CTE. And sure enough, they did, and it was there. Again, I can go on. There's someone, Mike Webster from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I can go on. It's just, it's sad, and I wish maybe we would come up with more of a way to have the technology for the helmet or somehow make this game safer. And I'm not sure how. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I love football, but it's like there is a problem. Same way it is for boxing. Same way, you know, you get connected. And it's like, you know, once your head snaps back, you're in trouble. And it has happened time and time again. So I wish it was a more happier topic that we were talking about. Bloomberg's Shree Taylor talking about the NFL's concussion protocol. By the way, before we move on, the representatives of the NFL and the NFL Players Association, they're trying to meet with Tua Tagovailoa right now about what's going on. So I wanted to mention that also.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can get to the bottom of this. Shree, thank you again for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
Hey, if you want to look me up on Twitter, you know I'm there. You can find me right there at Big Barr Sports.
And I'm at Scarlett Fu.
And I'm on Twitter at D Sassauer.
And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday with our podcast. And you can download the show wherever you get them.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.